Moderators, honorable opponent, ladies and gentlemen, it affords me a great pleasure to come back to you, the second speech or third speech of this debate, which is my second speech. I'll get this hooked up here in a minute. Let's see if I'll really put it on my tie. I like lots of noise. The fellas got your recorder going? All right, let it do what? Okay. First, I must point out to you, Church of Christ friends, wherein Mr. Sutton has failed. The Pentecostals and all those who are not members of his church have expected more of him tonight than we've received. He has been obligated to follow me rather than to try to take the initiative as he's tried to do, but I've been experienced enough to pull him back in line here and see that I am still in the affirmative on the second address. When I point out to you how many things that I introduced into this first speech that he didn't even touch top side to the bottom of, it's going to shock every one of you Church of Christ people tonight. Of course, you Pentecostal folk are aware of the things that he avoided because of the weakness of his position. When I point out this to you, I hope and pray that every sincere Church of Christ friend here tonight will see this weakness. Turn from your tradition, even as my sweet mother did many years ago, when she forsook Camel's teachings in Kentucky and took the wonderful name of Jesus Christ in water baptism. And before she crossed the river, Mother always told me how much she loved that name of Jesus and loved to hear it spoken in a Pentecostal meeting. Thank God that Jesus Christ still saves from sin. Now, Mr. Sutton has become rather personal here in making reference to my inability. Actually, he said I did not learn to debate then until tonight. Well, the reason why I didn't follow him tonight was he's supposed to follow me. And not only that, if he would lead somewhere, I'd go where he goes. But if he doesn't go anywhere, how does he expect me to follow where he leads? He is right now where he was on Monday night when he first came in here. Now, he admitted that he went back to Matthew for his baptismal instructions. And Mr. Sutton is charged, Marvin Hicks is trying by a chart to invalidate Matthew 28:19, when I'm the one up here affirming Matthew 28:19. We are the only people that baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you know as well as I do that in your heart, that name of Father, didn't I bring it out that the name Father is not a proper noun? Did he mention that? No. I brought out that Son is not a proper noun. Did he mention that? No. I brought out that Holy Spirit is not a proper noun. Did he mention that? No. Do you know what a noun is and a proper noun? You evaded that purposely, didn't you, Mr. Sutton? Because you didn't want to have to deal with the fact that that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost had a name, and that one singular name was Jesus. In fact, I forced you to admit that the name of the Son was Jesus. So when we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, we're baptizing in the name of the Son, aren't we? Hey, look up here. Shake your head, yes. You know the name of that Son is Jesus, Mr. Sutton. All right. Don't ever tell any crowd anywhere in the world that Mr. Hicks tries to invalidate Matthew 28:19. We are the people up here affirming that. That's my affirmative argument. Jesus said, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm coming in my Father's name. Didn't he say it? Hey, you know what my Father's name is? Would you know if you never met my Father, would you know what his name is? Boy, you talk about being in a jam. He is in trouble right now. He would know what my Father's name is without even meeting my Father. He knows my Father's name is Hicks because my name is Hicks. And Jesus said, Father, I manifest thy name unto them. What name was that, Mr. Sutton? Father? Why, of course not. Jesus is the name that was manifest to the people. Why, he knows the Father's name is Jesus. Jesus said, I'm coming in my Father's name. The angel said in Luke 1:31, thou shalt call his name Jesus. John 14:26 said, the comforter whom the Father will send in my name. It says it in the book of God. Now, why don't you admit that the comfort of the Holy Ghost is in the name of Jesus Christ? You better think twice before you get back up here tonight. All right, he said John 5:43 doesn't say that Jesus came in his Father's name, and that's exactly what it says. And Luke 1:31 is the name of Jesus. John 15:26 or 14:26 says in the name of the comforter would be sent in the name. Then he said Hicks is here. And wouldn't be here without his Father. Of course I wouldn't be here without my Father. Anybody that goes around over the country saying we believe Jesus is his own grandpa simply doesn't know what we teach. We teach that Jesus had a Father, but that Father was not another person but a spirit that engulfed the flesh of Jesus.
Jesus Christ. The mighty Spirit of God, John 4:24, wrapped that robe of flesh around his spirit and called that flesh his son. And you can't see through that. You ought to pray and ask God to open your understanding. And I ask you, what is the Father's name? You know what the Father's name. Jesus said, I've manifested that name. That's why we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're the only people who do. I've never tried to invalidate that scripture. In fact, we've affirmed that. That was my first argument, that we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that name is Jesus. And I told him we'd do it instead of repeating it. Suppose I said to my father, Dad, stand up. And he just repeated it.
Dad, stand up.
There's Matthew 28:19.
Dad, stand up.
Now let's go to Acts 3:38. Dad, stand up. Look at him get up. Did we have that plan? No. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for helping. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew 28:19 is not something to repeat, it's something to do. And that's what the Pentecostal people are doing today. They're going out and finding the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they're baptizing in that name. And I told you, Mr. Sutton, that the name Jesus is the name that is above Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I challenge him to deny that the name of Jesus is above the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He can't challenge that. You Church of Christ people believe the name of Jesus is above Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? You don't? Shake your head no if you don't believe that. Well, I'll say there are people here tonight that believe Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the same as Jesus Christ in name. Why, isn't that so? I'm a father, I'm a son, and I'm a preacher, but that's not my name. You know, titles are one thing, but an identification name is another thing. Why don't you fill out your Form 1040 this year and put Father, Son, and preacher on there and sign it that way? You send it to the IRS and see how far you get. They'll not only audit you, they'll take you to prison. He says, Jesus is the Father of Jesus. We preach that the Spirit is the Father of the flesh. But we don't believe he had two fathers. Let me point this out. Give him a point of preaching. That chroma there under the paper there. I'd like to point out this on the second chart to be introduced as another affirmative argument before I talk further. Is Jesus the Son only? Let's go this. Father of Jesus. If the Father and Holy Ghost are two separate distinct persons, as Mr. Sutton claims, Jesus had two fathers. John 3:16 says he's the Son of God. Romans 15:6 speaks of Jesus as having God as his Father. All right, but we got a problem. Here's the Virgin Mary. The Bible says in Luke 1:31 and Matthew 1:20, that which is of Mary is of the Holy Ghost. That which is in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. You have the seed of conception that brought about Jesus by the Holy Ghost, and still he's the Son of the Father. So you have the first person of the Trinity being fathered by the third person of the second person of the Trinity, fathered by the third person of the Trinity, and still being the Son of the first person of the Trinity. Then he tells me I'm in trouble. All right. No, we believe the Spirit is the Father of the flesh. He said Isaiah 9:6 is not the Father of Matthew 28:19. Of course he couldn't admit that, because the Bible said unto us, a child is born and a son is given, Isaiah 9:6, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Son given, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Don't tell me that's not the same Father, Matthew 28:19. That's the same name we're baptized in, the name of that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's only one Father, and his name is Jesus Christ in the New Testament dispensation. And you know that, and we baptize in that name today. Not two fathers. Jesus didn't have two fathers. John 4:24 says, God is a Spirit, and the Holy Ghost, Joel 2:28, is the Spirit of God. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's what came with Pentecost, the Holy Ghost. That which overshadowed Mary, Luke 1:35, is the Holy Ghost. Thus we have the God-man, not two persons, but one person consisting of spirit and flesh. He really knows that in his heart, but he has to quibble about it. Now, he says repentance. Mr. Hicks, are you telling me that people repent by saying Jesus' name when they repent? How do I know what they say when they repent? Repentance is something somebody else does. Baptism is something I do. Well, you don't even make sense. I'm telling you the truth. A man will get up here and argue like that. He has nothing else to argue about, to argue something like that.
I'll tell you, let me point out something now in passing, what this man did not deal with, and I think it's absolutely pathetic, and I'm being honest about it. I mentioned the dumb, speechless, or common law baptism of being baptized without speaking the name that the name of the family of God is named after. He didn't mention it. I stood up here and consumed some affirmative time bringing out 17 translations wherein two means into the name of Jesus and not by the authority of Jesus. He did not touch that because he didn't want to then. He'll come back in his last speech and touch on it. He'll talk about authority for 30 minutes when he comes back up here. But he didn't mention it now because he knew I was on his trail. But there's another night and judgment day is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, please be honest with me. I plead with you. Did Mr. Sutton talk about the three commissions I mentioned? Did he even bring in anything at all about the first commission, about Galilee and Jerusalem, about Luke 24 being the last commission? These were affirmative points establishing the fact that the last commission Jesus gave was that he opened the understanding of those disciples and they knew something after that they didn't know before. And he says John 7 and John 3 were before Pentecost. What do you think I am, a raving idiot? I know that. But I also know when something is prophetic, and John 3, 5 is prophetic. John 7, 38 and 39 is prophetic. Because it says Jesus was not yet glorified. But the experience promised in John 3 and John 7 was fulfilled at Pentecost and thereafter. Don't you know that? You're too nice a fella to be that way. You know better than that. All right, he didn't mention the three commissions because he has nothing to say about them. How many of you remember him bringing up? You see, I'm an affirmative speaker, and it's my job not only to establish my affirmative, but to come back like this and point out what he did not do. Now, you know why I give him up? Why he failed? I'll tell you why. Did you hear this man mention circumcision? He didn't do it, did he? All you Church of Christ people, did you hear him mention circumcision? You know, I spent 5 minutes on that point. 5 minutes. We're baptized into Christ. It's the New Testament circumcision, the operation of the heart, the naming of the Jewish male child at circumcision. Remember that? Colossians 1, 11. Do you remember that, Mr. Sutton? Tell me you remember it. You remember Colossians 2, 11 and 12? Romans 2, 28, the operation of the heart? You remember it? Oh, you remember it. Your forgetter's working. That's right. How many remember bringing out Proverbs 30 and verse 4? See, when I introduce the scripture as an opponent speaker, you're supposed to respond to it. What is his son's name? Hebrews 1, 5. You know the Bible says, by inheritance, he obtained a more excellent name. You know what that name is? Don't tell me it's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You know better than that. You know better. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to be a smart aleck. Really, I'm trying to be nice and sweet in this debate because this is going to be recorded and going all over the world. We have an international tape ministry. It's going to put this discussion in every country of the world. And I'm trying to be nice, but I'm going to tell you folks something. If that man came up here and said one word about being buried with Christ of Romans 6, 1 through 4 that I mentioned, then I didn't hear him say it. He didn't mention one word about being buried with Christ in baptism. Do you remember me asking, did Father, Son, and Holy Spirit die? Are we buried with them, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in baptism? Didn't I ask him? Why, he can't answer it. That's why he didn't. He can't. Don't feel sorry for him. He's a nice man. It's what he's preaching, his problem. Buried with the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Who ever heard of such a thing? Then, Acts 2:38, he said, Mr. Hicks, in water baptism in Jesus' name through the New Testament, we know what they did. You tell us what they said. Well, I hardly think they would say that they baptized in Jesus' name and then cuss. I hardly think they'd say they baptize in Jesus' name and do something else. Do you think, Mr. Sutton, honestly now, look at me right in the eye. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that they baptized in Jesus' name without speaking the name Jesus? Would you nod your head this way or that way? Do you think it's a sin to say Jesus' name? What's so wrong about saying the name that's above every name? Why didn't you quote that? What is so wrong about saying the name in which there's salvation? And there's no other name but Jesus, whereby we must be saved. Not Father, Son, and Spirit, but Jesus. That is the only name. He even admitted that Acts 4:12 was the name of Jesus Christ. So he's admitted that he baptizes in an inferior name.
Let me look at his questions here and tell you a few things he did. Well, let me go to Acts 3. Now, Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. The man was laying there at the gate. Now, Mr. Sutton, look. We know what they did. You tell us what they said. There's a man laying. He said, Silvan, give me alms. And Peter and John said, Silvan, don't have none but such as I have. Give I unto thee. We know what happened. We know what they did. Do you want to know what they said, Church of Christ people? They said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And if it were necessary to speak the name of Jesus for a man to be healed of his physical ailment, how much more necessary it is to speak the name of Jesus in which there is remission. And without that name, there is no remission of sin, according to Acts 2:38. Then I brought out does not mean in the authority of, because the Bible said the wicked shall be cast into the authority of hell. He didn't mention that either. And I mentioned that if water baptism was to be a public acknowledgement of a hypothetical trinity, that every one of the disciples went to hell because they made no such acknowledgement. Acts 2:38, baptism was in Jesus' name. Acts 19:5, baptism was in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10:48, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 8:16, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Romans 6:3, they were baptized into Christ. Why, the Bible is full of it! And you stand up here and deny it with unmitigated gall. I'll tell you, for 10 minutes I mentioned authority. I introduced it as a point in this discussion. And my friend walked up here and totally ignored it and didn't even mention it. And then he went to Matthew and said, Matthew 28:19 is the way he's supposed to be baptized. And then I want to talk about his questions here just a minute. This absolutely is something. I asked him, how, Mr. Sutton, do you baptize, and what do you say when you baptize someone? Isn't it awful to have a baptismal service and be ashamed of what you say?
Right, yes, sir.
I mean, actually, he did not say what he said. You know what his sadness is? No, he said, I said, do you teach it's a sin to baptize saying in the name of Jesus Christ? He said, no, that's not a sin, but that's not the only way. It's not limited. Hey, could Noah have made the ark out of gopher wood? Knotty pine, would that have been all right? Could Abraham have offered rats and mice on the altar? Or were there some specific instructions? Oh, no, you're in trouble, not me. Then I said, please tell us exactly what you say when you baptize.
He didn't do it.
He said, I may say anything. Woo! You're dangerous. You're dangerous. He said, I may say anything in Scripture. Have you folks ever read all the Scripture? Have you ever read everything in the Bible? Would you want him to say some things in the Bible when he's baptizing you? Boy, you better believe I'm being nice, Carol Sutton. I'm being sweet right now. Boy, I could take you for a cleaning right now. I really could. Anybody will get up here and say, I may say anything that's in Scripture. Boy, I know some things in Scripture you wouldn't say, or your elders would fire you short as the world. They ought to give you a cut and pay already. Then he said, Acts 4:12 is Jesus' name, but Matthew 28:19-20 is not. Now, here's a man that assumes the authority to say which is the name of the Lord Jesus and which is not. And then I wanted to know if I would be converted to his crowd, would I have to be rebaptized? And he said, since I hadn't been taught right, hey, look, Mr. Sutton, I know everything you know. And I don't believe it all. I don't believe it. I know every bit of your doctrine. You don't preach one bit of doctrine in the Church of Christ that I don't know. I've studied your doctrine as much as I've studied mine. I know everything you believe. Shame on you for believing it, too. You tell me I haven't been taught right? You tell me you can teach me something about your church that I don't know? Oh, let's don't get on that tuning fork and communion every day and all that stuff. I will take you for a cleaning then. All right, I know all about you, crowd. I know just exactly what you teach. Don't tell me I haven't been taught right. You know, I know two languages. I know the language of truth, and I've learned your language. But I don't believe what you preach. So he wouldn't accept me in his church without a rebaptism. Because it does matter what you say. Why? Because Jesus is there. Did he accept my offer to put a church sign up and put Jesus in front of Christ? How many remember that? I made the offer publicly here and told him I'd pay for it.
And he wouldn't even take me up on the deal. Can you imagine a man so set against the name Jesus that he'll Christ all over Alabama and will not use the name that is containing salvation? That is a shame. Then he said, Jesus Christ is one of the names of the Son of God. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, there's no other name. No other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Then he comes up here and said, that's one of the names. Did you mean one of the saving names? Oh, no. Then he got all upset because I told him that to just say Matthew 28:19 is a total rebellion against it. And I charge it again in the name of Jesus Christ. I charge you with disobedience. And disobedience is a sin. In fact, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Don't look at me with those eyes like that. You might be practicing that too right now. You know what rebellion is? It's a sin of witchcraft. And those who rebel against Matthew 28:19, the man actually got upset because I accused him of rebelling against the Scripture. You tell me you can rebel against the Word of God and be saved? Jesus didn't tell you there what to say. He said, go out and do it. And that's why Peter, who had been given the keys to the kingdom of God, went out and did it on the day of Pentecost. And he knows that's the Word of God, and he knows that's the truth. All right, let's talk about something else now. If water baptism was to be a public acknowledgement, he said, now when you're baptized in water, it's for the remission of sin. He agrees with me there. You know where he got his doctrine? That when you go down in the water, you receive the gift of the Spirit? Quote, Alexander Campbell, I affirm that everyone who was immersed did, in that very instant, he was put under the water and received forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Ghost, end quote. Now that's what he believes. Then he denies any connection with Alexander Campbell, who started his church and gave him that beautiful verse they all love to use, where the Scriptures speak, we speak, where the Scriptures are silent, we're silent. That verse came from the founder of your religion, Alexander Campbell. Isn't it nice to learn something you don't know, Mr. Sutton, every once in a while about your own religion? Let me introduce, ladies and gentlemen, why the name of Jesus Christ is important. It is so important. It is important for identity. Whose we are, Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 3:14-15. The name is important in business. The name makes valid and legal the checks and business papers. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:17. It's necessary in marriage. The bride promises to assume her husband's name. You're not in the bride of Christ because you won't take the name of the groom, and his name is Jesus. You have to have his name in order to be in the bride of Christ. God did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Acts 15:14. I brought that verse out. He didn't mention that. Neither is there salvation in any others, necessary in salvation, for there's none other name. Jesus is Jehovah becoming our salvation. Yes, the Lord has many titles, but in redemption only one name. Zechariah 14:9, in that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Acts 9:5, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. What does the Bible say about remission of sin? Mr. Sutton, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. Through his name receive remission of sin. Acts 10:43. Remission of sin should be preached in his name. Luke 24:47. It's all in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the uniform experience of the Jews in Acts 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2:1-4. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Samaritans in Acts 8:15-17 prayed that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10:44. They received the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak in tongues. But Peter stood forth and commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 19:1-6. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, they haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost or not. Under what thing were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. And he said, John promised you he'd baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and laid his hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Over again, the second time. Because they had to have the name Jesus. Well, I'm going to make a deal in my concluding remarks tonight with Mr. Sutton. Mr. Sutton, let's make a deal. I will renounce the Pentecostal Church as of this night, February 25th, 1982, and become a member of the church titled Church of Christ. If you can find the word Trinity in your Bible. Number two, if you can read from the scriptures where anyone was baptized in the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost after the day of Pentecost.
All right.
Is that a good deal? Will you take me up on it? Nod your head yes. All right. I saw him nod his head yes. How many saw him nod his head yes? Several did. All right. All right. Number three, if you can prove by the scripture that Father, Mr. Sutton, I'll be a member of your church and denounce the Pentecostal church. If you can prove by the scripture that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost died and were buried, and therefore we must repent and be buried with the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Find it. I'm a convert. Number four, if you can find in scripture a name that is above Jesus Christ, the name into which I have been baptized, I am a convert to your congregation. Number five, if you can prove by the scripture that Peter in Acts 2:38 contradicted Matthew in Matthew 28:19. Number six, if you can prove that the title Church of Christ is used more often in scripture than other church titles. Number seven, if you will prove tonight that it is a sin to neglect the poor Father and Holy Spirit by orally pronouncing the name Jesus Christ at water baptism. You prove these things when you come up here, and I'm your convert. All right? Turnabout is fair play. Mr. Hicks, let's make a deal. Will you make a deal with me? He likes to play games, so let's play one. I tell R. Sutton, will renounce the Church of Christ I'm a member of this night, February 25th, 1982, and become Pentecostal. Mr. Hicks, if you, Marvin Hicks, will show me in Scripture where anyone was baptized after Pentecost without reference to the words Father and Holy Spirit. Will you do it? Would you do that? Well, he's on. Number two. Mr. Hicks, I will renounce the Church of Christ and be Pentecostal if you will find the word one with reference to God in the New Testament. Now, I ask you to bring the word Trinity. You bring the word one up here, and you got me for a convert. Number three, Mr. Hicks, I'll be Pentecostal if you can prove that only Jesus died and was buried, and that we must repent of sin and be buried, baptized in the one who was buried for us. Now, if I bring you that scripture, will you be Pentecostal? Boy, I'm pouring it on him tonight. Number four, if you will find a name in the New Testament that is above the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Mr. Hicks, I will be Pentecostal. He has been baptized with the administrator saying, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know he has. He says he won't admit it, but he has anyway. Then I'm asking him, Mr. Sutton, if you'll bring me a verse that shows where the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in which he has been baptized, is if you will find a name in the New Testament that is above the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, then I'll be Pentecostal. Will you? Would you do that? If I'll find you the verse, will you be baptized in Jesus' name? You know what I'm getting at. Don't look perplexed. You know Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not the name. Number five, Mr. Hicks, I will renounce the Church of Christ and prove, if you will prove, that Peter did not contradict Matthew in chapter 2 and verse 38 of Acts. Number six, Mr. Hicks, if you can prove that the New Testament church is called Church of God more often than Church of Christ, I will be Pentecostal. Number seven, if you, Marvin Hicks, can prove by the Bible that Jesus came in his Father's name, that the Son's name is not Son but Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit was sent in the name of Jesus Christ. Mr. Hicks, if you will prove this, and I would appreciate one more proof of your position, Mr. Hicks, and that is if you would prove by the Scriptures that the name Jesus Christ is above any other name, and that salvation of the soul, Mr. Hicks, is in the name of Jesus Christ and no other. If you can prove that from the Bible with chapter and verse, I will be Pentecostal tonight. Now, Mr. Sutton, do you agree to our a deal? Is this a deal?
I don't
think so. You don't believe it's a deal?
No.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You've been a wonderful audience tonight. God love you.